Sex, Scandals, and Shenanigans. My name is Adrian, and I'll be your host.
In this show, I will be discussing historical figures who were notorious lovers and mistresses in history. I want to define the word mistress and what it means in the context of the show. As per the Oxford Languages Oxford Dictionary, a mistress is described as a woman having extramarital affair, sexual relationship, especially with a married man. Additionally, this podcast will also delve into men who have extramarital relations with powerful women or men, and they're called chisabeos. We'll get into that later. I also want to add my contextual definition of a mistress. When I read or hear the word mistress, attribute its definition as a willing participant in an extramarital affair. Please note that the show discusses adult themes, including sex, sexual assault, language, politics, and religion. Listener discretion is advised. Ancient Greece, known for olive oil, the OG Naked Olympics, unruly gods, and democracy. Well, the original Athenian version anyway. For today's episode, I want to focus on Aspasia of Miletus, the famed partner of Heracles of Athens. Additionally, like previous episodes, I will introduce our story's characters. We have Aspasia of Miletus, Heracles of Athens, Heracles' ex-wife, which we don't know her name, their two sons, Perillus and Xanthippus, and Heracles the Younger. I will also be mentioning playwrights and philosophers as well. Yes, Socrates is going to be involved. May you rest in pieces, George Carlin. May you rest in pieces. The one primary source that is available is from Plutarch's Lives. From there, I will be using Plutarch's information regarding Aspasia and her contemporaries. Plutarch was a Greco-Roman writer from Common Era 46 to 119, the last vestiges of the Julio-Claudian imperial dynasty to the five emperors. Please note that there is multiple centuries between Aspasia and Plutarch, between 400 to 500 years, if not closer to 600 or 700. I'll do the math later. Therefore, we do need to take Plutarch's rendition of her story with a few grains of salt. Let's dig in. Here's some known information about Aspasia. She was from the Ionian colony of Miletus, basically Turkey. Aspasia was born around 470 BCE, or before Common Era. CE is Common Era, so I'll be using those interchangeably, BCE and CE. I won't be using BC, which used to stand for Before Christ, and AD Anno Dominus, which is in the year of our Lord. I'm not somebody who speaks Latin, but BCE, Before Common Era, and CE are going to be used throughout the show. We know that her father was a scholiast. Basically, he was a commenter on ancient Greek literature. Made comments, notes on different types of literature, probably most notably plays or like works like what philosophers would write as well. But think of a scholiast as like a medieval monk writing and scribbling in the corners. Now, if you've ever watched Monty Python, you'll know what I'm talking about. Like the little doodles that they do in the corners and all that. That's what a scholiast is. So a scholiast, again, they make comments and they write their thoughts and commentary on other pieces of work. Moving on. And there's very little, if nothing, on Aspasia's mother. Her domestic life wasn't very detailed either, but we can infer from scholars and historians that Aspasia was instructed on domestic and home caretaking, because that's what women did back then, and was taught. She was also taught to read and write through her father. Because she had the instruction of reading and writing, she was also well-versed in rhetoric and debate, which was not part of a young woman's education. Education during that time for a girl or young woman, again, was household caretaking, cooking, art, maybe using the loom, I'm looking at you, Penelope, and running the household in general. By 450 BCE, Aspasia made her way to Athens as a medic woman, or as a permanent resident of Athens. She did not receive the benefits of being an Athenian citizen, but she was able to make a name for herself in other ways that Athenian women could not, namely access to the level of her education. It is speculated at this time that Aspasia met Pericles, details are not known, but they could have met at a symposium, sort of like an after party of the main party of a banquet. So, like, you're done eating, and then you eat some more, and then you socialize, and then you hang out. That kind of thing. It is also surmised that her sister married Alcibiades of Scamboniadae. Dude, like, okay, I can name all or most of the Greek gods. Naming them, not a problem. Some of these cities, forget it. So, anyway, this Alcibiades of Scamboniadae, was the grandfather of Alcibiades, the future Hellenistic philosopher. In essence, Aspasia was the great aunt of the Alcibiades. According to Peter Bicknell, a British architect and author, Aspasia leaving Miletus may have had to do with Miletus leaving the Delian League, basically an agreement between many city-states to work together with Athens at the head against the Persians and pirates. She left around 455-454 BCE, in conjunction with her father dying. From the University of Chicago, Alcibiades was ostracized, the one that married her sister, from Athens around 460 BCE, and then he went to Miletus. During his ostracization, he married Aspasia's sister. We don't know her name. But anyway, once his ostracization was completed around the 450s BCE, Alcibiades, his wife, and Aspasia and their family went to Athens. If the family connections are correct and or accurate, then Aspasia did have a connection to her paramour lover, Pericles, as Alcibiades was also from a prominent Athenian family. Aspasia's depiction of her character comes from quite a bit of Greek plays, mostly the old comedies. The old comedies mostly had a political and or social bite to them, and because she was a person of influence in ancient Athens, she was also used as a target. Her relationship with Pericles, which really began around 450-459 BCE, has been chronicled by famous philosophers, including Demosthenes, sounds like antihistamines, and Plato, with more of a negative connotation versus Aeschines and Xenophon, who, again, discuss her more positively. And I apologize about name pronunciation. I am not an expert. Now, if you give me like Zeus, Poseidon, Hades, I'm gold. That'll come later. But yeah, some of these names, I silently say it to myself, and then I just completely butcher it, so yay me! Also, continuing from the University of Chicago, the writer who did a piece on Aspasia describes the conversation between Aspasia and Xenophon in a Socratic method. Basically, the Socratic method is questions going back and forth, trying to figure out an answer by asking more questions, then you get confused. And the discussions that they related in their article shows that she could keep up with these philosophers. She wasn't just a doormat in a pretty face. Clearly, we can understand from her limited background that she was not only intelligent, but she was able to use her intellect to garner her place in high Athenian society. According to the Suda, which is a Byzantine encyclopedia, Aspasia was clever with regards to her words. She was also noted as a female philosopher as well. She was what we would consider like salons, most notably in like 18th and 19th century, where people in society would get together and have discussions about whatever the hot topic may be, politically or socially, and they would just discuss things, and she was able to keep up in conversation with them. And in conjunction with that, being able to, she would hold these salons and they would discuss the important issues of the day, and she would be able to contribute to those conversations due to her education in comparison to, again, the standard Athenian woman who wasn't necessarily always literate and was more of the home caretaker versus someone out in society talking with philosophers and playwrights and discussing hot topics during the day. So because Aspasia was a Medic woman, again, she was not an Athenian citizen, she did not have the right to vote, and she had to pay taxes. So from what I found, by the way, the taxes were poll taxes. So it was 6 drachma for women and 12 drachma for men. Also, Medic people who moved to Athens had to have an Athenian sponsor. So again, I think I may have mentioned this earlier. A Medic person is somebody who did not live or is not from Athens and does not have Athenian family connections. They had to have a sponsor. We would consider a Medic person in this particular case as a permanent resident. Before getting into her scandalous life, we should define what prostitution is in ancient Greece. It was a legal profession, unlike now in the States, where if you walk down a sidewalk, yeah, you have a job, but it's not legal. Thanks, Betty Davis. More so, this career, if that's what we want to call it, sex work as well, was conducted by non-Athenian residents, again, the Medics. They were two types of sex work in Athens. The pornes, basically a viable woman, probably like those cheapo sex workers from the Old West, you know, the two-bit honeys, and like a street walker, or lot lizards. And hetaira, a companion. Most people will compare what we call a hetaira to like a geisha, someone who's educated, understands the art of conversing, the understanding of social commentary, and understands the culture. And companionship, of course. However, like the geishas, there might be or there is an element of sexual companionship with the hetaira. So let's get into her scandalous life. Most of Aspasia's life as a courtesan and a partner of Pericles comes from Plutarch, like we said earlier. He describes her as a woman who she managed as she pleased the foremost men of the state and afforded the philosophers occasion to discuss her in exalted terms and at great length. He continues in his life, she was held in high favor by ancient Athenian society, particularly by rare political wisdom. Socrates sometimes came over to discuss with her with his disciple. Remember I said Socrates? It's really Socrates. And apparently they also, the other philosophers, brought their intimate friends, or rather Socrates brought his intimate friends and their wives to hear her discourse. Although she presided over a business that was anything but honest, even reputable, since she kept a house of young courtesans. Oh, yeah, the other thing was she was a business owner and she was a madam. Aspasia could be the Heidi Fleiss of ancient Greece. And she owned a brothel. Another description, per Plutarch, via another guy named Cratinus, was described as a dog-eyed concubine. And another guy, Eupolis, described her as a whore. More of the porne, the cheap streetwalker. And that she was the mother of a bastard, which she was. And that was Pericles the Younger. So here we get from Plutarch stating that she was a madam. Her occupation as a brothel owner could be tied, but not everyone is sure, to her being tried for impropriety. Oh yeah, she had to go to court for impropriety. The charge alleged that Aspasia was obtaining young freeborn women, so like Athenian women, free, not slaves or medics, for her lover Pericles, more for sexual gratification. We're not even sure if this even happened, but the allegation still stands 2,000 plus years. Allegedly, Pericles himself as her legal representative, and she was summarily acquitted of the impropriety charges. It's nice having your protector or lover be the leading statesman of your city-state and also defending you during your court case. I wonder if I could do that now. If I find a lawyer, I be his mistress, I sleep with him, you know, bumping uglies, doing the bunga bunga if you're from Italy. You know what? Forget it. It's not worth it because you know what? Ethics get involved and there'd be a lot of ethical violations. So I did mention Pericles quite a few times. I think it's fair that I described him to you as he is quite the important man. He came to prominence in politics in the 460s BCE and then he was essentially Athens' leader for 30 years. He was also a soldier during the Samian War, which apparently was blamed on Aspasia because Miletus and Samia were enemies. Because Miletus was enemies with Samia, Aspasia was able to garner her persuasive arguments to Pericles to fight against Samia and help Miletus. Pericles led Athens during the Peloponnesian War, really the first 2 years, because then, spoiler alert, he died. During his tenure in power, the phrase the Golden Age of Athens is attributed to the city-state during this time. He radicalized democracy into a sort of a version that we have today. When we vote here in the U.S., we have more of a direct democracy when it comes to our council members, our mayor, you know, local government. Whereas if we're looking at the federal level, or actually, I take that back. Congressional is more of a direct democracy versus the Republican type of government, which is what we have for the presidential elections. For those who are not aware, what I mean by Republican is that we have our elected representatives vote on our behalf for the federal elections, the Electoral College. So from there, that's what I mean by the Republican type of government. And just so you know, the U.S. is a democratic republic, partially direct democracy, local and congressional representatives, and the republic portion would be the Electoral College and the election of the President of the United States. Which, by the way, is about 3 months from now. Please go vote. So, a bit more about Pericles. He did have a wife, as I mentioned. We don't know her name, but they did divorce. And with his first wife, she did bear him 2 sons, Paralus and Xanthippus. Paralus was named after a boat that Athens was involved in, and Xanthippus was named after his grandfather, Pericles' father, Xanthippus. Now, again, these names just absolutely kill me. Anyway, Pericles and his wife divorced about 445 BCE. Let's just put it this way. He divorced his wife before meeting Aspasia when she came to Athens. Around the 440s BCE, Pericles met and started a long-lasting affair with Aspasia. He and Aspasia had one son, Pericles the Younger, born probably no later around 440, 439 BCE. I also just want to state, Aspasia was not the Angelina Jolie of ancient Athens, okay? She didn't break up the marriage, she wasn't a homewrecker, she didn't have any other kids that were adopted prior to her relationship with Pericles. One thing we do need to discuss about Pericles and Aspasia is the Athenian citizenship law from 451 to 450 BC. Pericles had made significant changes to the way Athens was run under his leadership. Citizens, and not just people like Aspasia, were paid to participate in juries and politics. The one major piece of legislation that impacted all of Athens was the citizenship law. In 451-450 BCE, a brief time prior to Aspasia's arrival into Athens, Pericles passed a law stating that if a son was born to an Athenian father, but not an Athenian mother, that son would not be considered an Athenian citizen. Oh, yeah, remember how I said that they had a son, Pericles the Younger? This impacts him. Because Pericles lost his two legitimate sons, Paralus and Xanthippus, Pericles asked the Athenian assembly to override this law and allow his bastard son, Pericles the Younger, to be eligible for Athenian citizenship. So, I was reading this article from ancienthistory.org.uk. Okay, you know what? Side note. Yeah. I'm a lazy historian. Leave me alone. The writer, by the way, this was written in June 2007, states that the possible motivations for this law was that Athenian citizens would be protected from being tortured, and more notably, to own, inherit, and bequeath property. These privileges would not be able to be accessed to non-Athenian citizens, again, who had to pay higher taxes, particularly the poll tax that I mentioned earlier. He asked the Athenian assembly and was granted special exception that his son be granted full Athenian citizenship. This is really impactful because of this law, Pericles the Younger would not have been able to inherit any of his father's properties because his mother was not Athenian. So that meant that Pericles the Younger was a special kid. Things didn't go out so well. He didn't do so well. So he served in the Helen Timaeus in 410 or 409 BCE, and he became a statesman or strategist in 406. He was one of the six strategoi executed for Arguinaceae for failing to pick up survivors from a storm. So his parents, most notably his father, went out on a limb, asked the Athenian government, hey, can you make an exception for my son? I know he's not full Athenian, but he's the only heir that I have. Okay, we'll make him a full Athenian citizen. And then he does this shit. Decides, nah, we're gonna bounce. We're not gonna pick up these survivors. That was a wasted effort. So what happened after Pericles' death for Aspasia? And what did she do afterward? It's possible she did enjoy another friendship or relationship with another statesman, Lysicles. She apparently did guide his political career, but in terms of having another family with Lysicles, it's not known. And historians and biographers speculate that nothing probably happened. She didn't have another son. But it is alleged by Madeline Henry, who wrote Prisoner of History, Aspasia of Miletus, and her biographical tradition. She didn't thought that she didn't have a son, but again, the allegation is that she did have another son, and his name is Porystes, which has been translated to either supplier or provider, but could be a euphemism for a thief. Another historian, Rebecca Fudo Kennedy, from her book, Immigrant Women in Athens, Gender, Ethnicity, and Citizenship in the Classical City, states that she probably didn't. Other scholars believe that she did not have another family once Pericles died. Now that everybody's died, like, I don't know, over 2,000 years ago, let's do a quick discussion on whether or not Aspasia can be defined as a mistress. Again, from the Oxford definition, as well as my contextual definition. Wholeheartedly? Yeah, she was a mistress. She had a relationship with a formerly married man, again, who divorced his wife, but he was married. They were not considered married. Different historians and scholars debate whether or not she was married to him. I would think of it more as a common law marriage. There's no legal paperwork that led to their relationship being more like it wasn't recognized by the government or the Athenian government. But like I said, Pericles and she were not married, but they did shack up together. Plutarch, remember that old geezer? Stating in his lives that Pericles would embrace and kiss her when he began his day and again when he returned home from leading the democratic cities. Yeah, she is a true mistress. She had an impact on philosophers, society, ancient Athenian culture. I just want to thank you for listening to Sex, Scandal, and Shenanigans. Be careful you don't get into any shenanigans. I may end up telling your story. If you're interested in contacting the podcast, I have my email, sexscandalshenaniganspod@gmail.com, sexscandalsandshenanigans.my.canva.site. The podcast is hosted, produced, and edited by me, Adrian. Thank you again, and until next time, bye!